Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.
Gentlemen, welcome aboard the Athletics Can't Wait Jets podcast, your nonstop shop for all things Jets. Now here are your hosts, Tim McMaster and Connor Hughes. Listen safely.
Can't wait!
Training camp has arrived and we are back on the Can't Wait podcast. Tim McMaster here, along with the Athletics Jets reporter Connor Hughes and our producer Marissa Morris. Thanks for checking us out on YouTube, Spotify, Apple. We're available everywhere. If you can drop us a five-star review and rating, we love that as well. We're going to get all into the Zach Wilson situation, what all of this stuff means going forward, what happened in the first day of workouts today. Connor was obviously there. Before we get to that, we have to reference, though, the last episode. We're obviously back in our normal places now. Connor in his office, me with my boring white wall behind me.
Two hats now.
We're on our way. But last time out, we were at the golf course and it went well. There was some good and bad. If you listen to the show on Apple and Spotify, it sounded great because Marissa did an amazing job of getting rid of the less great parts. But we had some heat problems on the golf course, led to some overheating. So we apologize for that for anybody that tuned in on YouTube. It got better as the episode went along. Hopefully you hung in there. But guys, we're back and everything should run smoothly today.
Yeah, you say we got, I mean, we were eviscerated on YouTube. I mean, there was no, like, I thought at least we had a loyal enough fan. I shouldn't say the fan base and the listenership has been ridiculously loyal. Like, it's never you guys. You guys all know how this works. You guys all know that if something was a little hiccupy, it was probably because of that. I mean, we have no, with the loyal OG Can't Wait listeners, there's never a problem. But, like, obviously, when you put something on YouTube, someone searches for one name, someone does something, and SEO queen Marissa hit you know, kind of gold or something like that, and it brings people in, and they get their first 10 or 15 seconds and see that it's choppy, and they're like, what the hell is this? Give it up. It's awful. This delete your lives. Like, just absolutely awful. And, like, I was like, guys, look, we have been doing this podcast now for like a year and a half. The only other time the three of us were in the same place at the same time was my wedding. This is the first time we're trying. So we were trying something new. We were seeing if we couldn't do an on location broadcast to potentially now open up the possibilities of doing a live broadcast from Jets camp, doing live broadcasts before Jet games at a bar or a restaurant, doing a live broadcast each week, whether it's a Tuesday night or a Thursday night. I mean, Marissa's going to be in Cleveland, obviously, but kind of have her remote producing while Tim and I are on location. I mean, it was kind of like our first go at trying that. And when you have a first
Tim
go,
is having a baby this fall, just in case you forgot.
Yeah, that's a hiccup. Yeah, we have grandiose ideas here. So it was, we were trying to figure out how to do it. And I think what was kind of cool was setting up a remote broadcast for the very first time. Like, that was kind of cool, but also going through the little hiccups and the things that we realized that we're going to need to adjust if we want to do that again. Like, in 90 degree heat, electronics tend to overheat. So we did not have a tent. We were not undercover. Marissa's computer, which is already on the verge of exploding every time we do one of these podcasts in perfect conditions, was literally about to spontaneously combust at any particular second because of how hot it was. So to give you guys a little idea of what was happening, Marissa had taken her computer and was hiding it under the table with ice around it to try to cool it off to get it going. So, yeah, the first 10, 15 minutes of that first remote podcast from JJ's golf outing were a little difficult, a little tough to get through. But if you fought through with us, you know, obviously, it's not how we start, it's how we finish. We got it all ironed out. We got it all working. And for the second half of that podcast, it was great. And like I said, I had a lot of fun broadcasting live with you guys. Well, we broadcast live all the time, but broadcasting in person with you guys, I thought it was really cool. And it's certainly something I think we want to do again moving forward, obviously, when I think all of our lives kind of get a little more regulated. Like, obviously Tim has the baby here and eventually figures out how to, you know, keep the child functioning and alive and all that. Cause I know there's like a million things you can't do with children. Yeah. So, but yeah, thank you guys for that stuck with us and for the other YouTube ones that were ready to get us, you know, I don't even know, like they wanted us all dead. Like they were like, this is choppy. Worst product. How do you have 4,000 subscribers? This is awful. I'm like, I don't know. Check the other 45 like streams that are up. I think they're pretty good.
The funny thing is the stream was the exact opposite of our golf game, which started great through five holes and then went to crap. We were three under through five, and we finished three under.
We finished three under through 18. We had a little bit of a lull there when that heat started beating down on us and the drivers started to disappear, and we got in a little bit of problem. We started hot, and that was with Marissa heckling us through the first two holes.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, the chat's going to start heckling us if we don't get to, like,
yeah, all right.
You know, that news, you know, that's been going around today about, you know, oh, yeah, Zach Wilson. So,
all right, let's get to it. Let's get to that. The Jets have a great percentage of reports this season. I mean, generally speaking, if you have all but one player reporting to training camp on day one, hey, that's pretty good. Unfortunately, if it's your star rookie quarterback who you have slated in to be the starter week one and have yet to sign anyone else to start week one, that is a problem. So let's start there, Connor. That's going to be a chunk of this podcast, is talking about just this situation. I know it's not panic time yet. They haven't done much. They're not even going to be in pads until Saturday. That said, this just feels so Jets-like right now. It's like vintage Jets when I thought we were beyond all that.
Yeah, so I think the easiest way to discuss this, because it is, like, I mean, I'm not kidding you. So Bree and I, before we went on this podcast, we had dinner, and she's a diehard Eagles fan. She's from Philly, so she follows the Eagles and stuff. She follows the Jets, obviously, loosely. I won't let her. I'm not gonna let Bo Wolf pollute her mind.
Okay, continue. The chat was on my side. Now they're going to be like, all right, let's go. They want to hear.
Yeah, you know, you can't set me off on a tangent. But like, Bree was like, we're having dinner. And so she's like, she follows the Jets because I cover them, and she knows them, like, loosely in that regard. But so, you know, we're sitting down there for dinner, and she heard me doing the video that we put up on Instagram. And she goes, where's Zach Wilson? I was like, oh, he's not signed. She's like, well, why isn't he unsigned? And I'll explain, like, what I'm just about to explain here. And she's like, didn't they have a lot of time to work through all this? And I was like, yep, they did. It's not like they've been, you know, they drafted this guy in April or anything, and have had, you know, April, March, June, July, all this kind of crap, you know, May, throw that month in there as well. I mean, they had plenty of time to work through all this. I mean, Joe Burrow, when he was drafted by the Bengals, they knew they were going to draft him. So they worked through all the contract and, like, the months leading up to the draft. Like, they knew that was going to be their guy. So it's almost unfathomable that, it's bad on all fronts. Now, the one person that I do remove from this equation is Zach Wilson, the player, because Zach Wilson, look, he has an agent like that. Like, this is between the agent and it's between the Jets. It is not between Zach Wilson. If it was Zach Wilson, he would be on the field with all his teammates. He doesn't. I can promise you that Zach Wilson doesn't care about payment structure. I can promise you Zach Wilson doesn't care about.
Do you think Zach Wilson knows what offset language is? Like, if you were like, Zach, how about that offset language? Yeah,
I think he learned about it when we all started writing about it. Like, I think that's probably like anyone else. Like, it's just, and it's to take Zach Wilson out of it. This is between Jets management, Joe Douglas and Rex Hogan and this whole, like, front office and their staff that's in charge of putting the numbers together, and Wilson's agency. And basically what they are fighting over, and it is, I mean, we can get into why this is just so, so dumb, but.
Well, just first, before you dive into the offset language, the thing that makes this even more ridiculous is that the actual money for the contract is slotted. Like, that is decided. We know exactly how much money Zach Wilson's going to get, and yet they can't get this contract done.
But agents need to justify their existence, because agents now need to, Zach Wilson's agent, if he can get the Jets to remove offset language, then he can go to his next client and say, hey, the Jets had never removed offset language for anyone before. They did it for me. I did it for Zach Wilson. Guess what I can do for you? I mean, like, they need to figure out ways to separate themselves from the competition. So there's a lot out there about payment structure. There's a lot out there about, you know, when payments are going to be deferred, year two, year one. That is, yeah, part of it. It's a part of any negotiation, but that is just stuff that you work through. It's not a roadblock. It's not a major obstacle. It's talking points. It's that you want this. Okay, we'll give you this. I give you that. I mean, that is the easiest thing to work through when it comes to negotiating rookie contracts. It's not serious. It's nothing anyone's hung up on. what Zach Wilson and the Jets, or when I say Zach Wilson, I mean Zach Wilson's representation, what they are held up on is this thing called offset language. And you probably have heard of offset language because offset language was the cog in Sam Darnold's three-day holdout from Jets training camp. And basically what offset language comes into play, and the only time that offset language comes into play, is when a player has a guaranteed contract, like Zach Wilson does because he was the number two pick in the draft, and if the Jets were to cut him before that guaranteed money is paid out. So easiest way to describe this is Zach Wilson has a four-year contract, hypothetically say he gets $5 million per year, right? The Jets decide after 3 years they are going to cut Zach Wilson, so he is still owed $5 million from the Jets. If Zach Wilson goes and signs a $3 million deal after the Jets cut him with the Philadelphia Eagles pay $3 million, the Jets pay $2 million. That is if offset language is involved in Zach Wilson's contract, okay? If there is no offset language involved in Zach Wilson's contract and Zach Wilson is still owed $5 million for the Jets and then signs $3 million deal with the Eagles, Zach Wilson gets $8 million. So it basically allows the player to double dip. So from a player perspective, you do not want offset language. From a team perspective, you do want offset language, right? You do.
The irony of this is that by haggling over this, you're basically haggling over the fact that maybe we drafted the wrong guy, which is, dude, I mean, I know that, but that's what it almost looks like.
It's
like,
also,
well, if we cut this guy, yeah, if we cut this guy in 3 years because he's a bust and we didn't draft the right guy, then we want to make sure we save a couple million dollars at the other end.
It's not even a couple million dollars. It's not even a couple million dollars. If you are a rookie quarterback that is cut after 3 years, you're getting the minimum. Like, no team, if there's a reason, if the Jets draft Zach Wilson second overall, which they did, and they're cutting him after 3 years, he ain't getting $2, $3, $4, $5, $6 million from another team. He's going to get like 800 grand or whatever the minimum is at that time. So maybe it is, maybe it is 1 million, but it's 1 million because that's what the minimum is. And the salary cap's going to be so high that 1 million is what 500 grand is today. Like, it's one of those things. So that's the irrelevant part of it all. In the NFL, sorry, you can go. Yeah, go ahead.
No, you go ahead. I'm stepping on you. Go ahead.
No, it's fine. So the way that from the Jets' perspective here, right, because in your mind you're thinking like you're haggling over nothing, right? Like, okay, the Jets are basically fighting and they don't have Zach Wilson in camp right now over $800,000 to $1 million because that's what would be offset if they were to cut him. So you're not only talking about foreseeing the worst possible situation 3 years down the road, but you're also fighting over $1 million, right? That's kind of like the public perception from why this is dumb for the Jets to just remove offset language, right? That's not the Jets' point of view. From the Jets' point of view, they do not want to let the minority influence the majority. In the NFL, there are only two teams that do not include offset language in their deals. It's the Jacksonville Jaguars and it's the LA Rams. Those are the only two teams in the NFL that do not include offset language. I know it was previously reported that Justin Fields does not have offset language in his contract. That's not true. Justin Fields has partial offset language in his contract. He doesn't have full offset language. He has partial offset language. So for example, like instead of that, you know, it's 50%, like something, it's something along those lines, but it's partial. So Justin Fields does have offset language. The only two teams that don't are the Rams and the Jaguars. So from the Jets' perspective, they do not want to let the minority influence the majority in this. That's why they're sticking to their guns. Also, this isn't necessarily about, from the Jets' perspective, Zach Wilson. This is about the precedent that it sets if they remove offset language from Zach Wilson's contract, because Quinnen Williams is going to need a new contract soon. Mekhi Becton is going to need a new contract soon. All of the free agents that the Jets sign in the coming years are going to receive contracts. When they suddenly start negotiating with the Jets, if the Jets were to remove offset language from Zach Wilson's contract, suddenly Quinnen Williams does not want offset language. Suddenly, player next year that they're signing in free agency doesn't want offset language because Zach Wilson doesn't have offset language. You're suddenly not talking about cutting a quarterback at this point, still owing him this. Look at what the Jets did with Trumaine Johnson. Look at what the Jets did with Muhammad Wilkerson. Both of those players had offset language in their contracts. So if they went and signed a $3, $4, $5 million deal where teams say, you know what, the Jets just screwed them up. He just needed a new scenery. Here's a two-year, $10 million contract, something along those lines. It can be a substantial amount of money coming through. From the Jets' perspective right now, they do not want to, A, set that new precedent because, again, they are not in the minority in not including or in including offset language. 30 of 32 teams have some form of offset language in their contracts. And this isn't a quarterback thing. Mac Jones, who signed with the Patriots, offset language. Fields, offset language. Joe Burrow, who is represented by the same agent who represents Zach Wilson, has offset language in his contract. So from that's the Jets' perspective, is like they're not going to budge on this. Sam Darnold had offset language on his contract. Every single player the Jets have drafted and or signed over the last 10 plus years has had offset language. It's how they work. It's non-negotiable because they are not going to remove it for Zach Wilson to then set the precedent for all future draft picks, future re-signings, and future signings. It's not what they're going to do. Zach Wilson, again, not Zach Wilson the person, Zach Wilson's representation, sees it as an opportunity to potentially change the narrative that the Jets need Zach Wilson. They don't have any options behind Zach Wilson, and they think they can push this enough to where the Jets will remove offset language. And suddenly that agency looks really freaking good because they got the Jets to take offset language out, and it helps them recruit future players and helps them bring future players in. What's so stupid about all this is that literally Zach Wilson is not in training camp right now because of offset language that would only be included in his contract if he fails after 3 years. Like he would have to, if Zach, offset language is not Zach Wilson's agency's biggest problem if it's coming into play in 3 years. Like that's just, it's so mind-bogglingly dumb because this kid should be in camp. Every single other rookie after Trey Lance signed today is in training camp but Zach Wilson. And is it a huge deal, which we're going to talk about in a second? No. I mean, it's a ramp-up period, acclimation period after a four-week vacation. So no, it's really not that big of a deal. But for a team that is trying to turn a corner, for a team that's trying to turn over a new leaf, for a team that's trying to say, look, we got the new coach, the new quarterback, new era, new uniforms. We're a different team. We're not the same old Jets. Your starting quarterback, your rookie, is holding out, and he is the only rookie that's unsigned. It looks bad for Zach Wilson. It looks bad for the Jets. And for a team that's trying to say, no, 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 not the same old Jets, it's like, what's going on here? You know what I mean? And I don't think either side is right. I don't think either side is wrong in that regard, because you know from the Jets' perspective, you know from Zach Wilson's perspective, it's just so dumb that it is July 28th and they haven't figured this shit out yet, when he's literally been a Jet for how many months now, right? March, April, May, June, July, almost August. So 6 months, and he was drafted in April. So 7 months. So how long his kid's been a part of this? This is how long you've known you're going to have to sign him. Everyone else is done. Every other rookie across the entire NFL is done but Zach Wilson. Like, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
And as and we're starting a podcast about the Jets after the first day of workouts for training camp, and we're spending 20 minutes
should be positive,
talking
man.
About offset language, where we should be celebrating the rebirth of this franchise with a new quarterback and a new head coach. It's just, it is just frustrating.
I should have a notepad. It's not in my office. It's in, because I'm in and out of the house for camp because I leave in the morning. My notepad should be filled with things that Zach Wilson did. It should be about when he showed up, how he looked here, who he threw to here. Oh, this connection to Elijah Moore. I've got tracked stats from James Morgan and Mike White. That's what I did today. I tracked James Morgan's stats. I tracked Mike White's stats with the starters. I have highlights written down of Mike White throwing to Chris Herndon. That's what I did today. That's not what I'm supposed to do. Okay? That's not it. That's not... I'm supposed to be watching Zach Wilson in his first practice with the Jets, with the momentum going forward, turning in new leaves. Robert Saleh, all gas, no break, all that stuff. Instead, he's the only rookie that is unsigned. Like, we literally spent an entire practice today. Andy Vasquez writes for the Record, our senior, is like, holy shit, we're watching Zach Wilson or Justin or Mike White and James Morgan. That's what we're doing right now. Like, what is... The Jets ran 35 team snaps with those two random. I don't even know what the hell they were doing with all. Like one play, like Morgan's in there, then all of a sudden Mike White's under center for one play. It was a discombobulated, well, I don't even know. But we're like sitting there, and I'm like, the Jets ran 35 plays, 22 of them passes. They threw two passes beyond 10 yards. How does it help anyone get better? Like, it's ridiculous, man.
Well, and that brings up the other problem that we're going to get to, which is why isn't there another veteran in there that's taking up these reps now and at least getting everybody else ready? That's another issue. But you mentioned, you know, that it's not panic time yet. And Sam Darnold had a 3-day holdout. But one thing I thought was interesting that I didn't quite remember that was in your story today was that when Sam Darnold was holding out, he was holding out from a hotel right here, you know, in New Jersey, and was able to report.
He was at the Archer. He was at where they keep him. Yeah.
He was able to report immediately, which sends a good vibe, at least, that like, hey, guys, I'm here. I just can't quite be there yet. Whereas Zach Wilson, not yet here. I feel like that would be a good move to get on the right side of the country to report one sign, because when does it become panic? Is it Saturday when pads are on that we should really be concerned about this?
Well, that's the thing, is that this is a.
What about Friday? That's the first fan event. I think that.
Well, you want to know when he's signing, by the way? I can tell you right now the exact day he's going to sign. I know that probably, I can probably pinpoint the minute if you give me a second, but he's going to sign on July 31st, because July 31st is the only practice that I'm going to miss in like the last 5 years, because one of my best friends, Andrew Galecki, Marissa's cousin, is getting married in Maine, and I have to miss, he's one of my best friends, I can't miss that wedding. So I have to miss 2 days of training camp, July 31st and August 2nd. The way that my life works is that as Bree and I are getting, we're probably going to be getting dressed to walk down on the hotel. He's getting married. It's a really nice hotel in Maine. I would assume we're going to be walking down and he's going to sign. So July 31st, I would say if you want to put your money on anything on when Zach Wilson's going to sign, not going to be tomorrow when I'm there. It's not going to be the 30th when I'm there. It's going to be either the 31st or August 2nd, the 2 days that I will not be there. Probably August 2nd. I bet you he gets me through the wedding and he signs when I'm driving 6 hours home from Maine. I bet you that's when he signs. That's when it's going to happen. If you really want to know.
Yeah, that sounds about right. But Saturday would be workouts. Friday, you mentioned Marissa, there'll be fans there to see White play. But as far as the quarterback.
I'm sorry, by the way, because those two guys are. I'm not going to say that. That's very mean.
There could be somebody else, though, because the Jets have now worked out Josh Johnson. They've worked out Sean Mannion. Josh Johnson, 8 career starts, last in 2018. Of course, Bucks, Browns, Washington football team. He's got 268 pass attempts. Sean Mannion, 2 career starts, 74 career pass attempts. I mean, they still need the veteran eventually, Connor. Those guys aren't the veteran they need either. I mean, what are they going to teach Zach Wilson in the room?
Yeah, correct. So room. Zoom room. Room. The room. The only Boston accent Tim has. He doesn't say pack the Kai. Zoom and room.
Zoom. Zoom.
Yeah. I do have to give a shout out real quick to I don't know his last name. Matt's his first name. It's NY. His Twitter handle is NYJ_Matt. So Josh Johnson played. You guys wouldn't know this. I don't, or if you do, really kudos to you. Josh Johnson played for the Jets previously. He was on the 2015 Jets, competing with Matt Flynn for like that backup job. I believe the Jets brought both Josh Johnson and Matt Flynn in after Geno got his jaw broke by IKN and Polly. So they were both there. So, you know, I saw Josh Johnson's name. I was like, oh shoot. I was like, I'm 90% sure. So I looked, I was like, yeah, he did play. So I said, I was like, someone's got to run back the I'm coming home highlight tape of Josh Johnson in his Jets days. And this guy, NYJ Matt, pieced it together and tweeted it to me. He made an I'm coming home Josh Johnson Jets highlight video. The guy played 3 preseason games. So big shout out to NYJ Matt. I thought that was great. But so when does he have to be back? And I think that the big thing to remember here, and the thing to remember here, is that this is kind of a two-prong disability for the Jets. And what I mean by that is that this isn't all about Zach Wilson. And I think that's what a lot of people need to remember, is that right now, like we said, it's not a big deal. He can miss today. Honestly, he can miss tomorrow on Thursday. He can miss Friday. That's the ramp up period. That's the acclimation period. That's when the Jets are kind of getting everyone back to this thing and everybody get ready to drink, rocking and rolling. What gets bad is if he starts missing the padded practices. That's when it gets bad. But it's not just for Zach. So Yeah, it was really key that he got every first team rep in OTAs and minicamp. But OTAs and minicamp was also very much an installation period for this offense, because, you know, this is the first year that Michael Flohr is installing this offense. So it's a learning curve for everyone. It's also the first time the defense is learning. So that whole OTAs minicamp, that's an acclimation period. That's an installation period. So yeah, they were very valuable reps for Zach to get. They were beneficial. Absolutely. It was seeing live reps, all that stuff. But this training camp is when you start preparing for the regular season. Training camp is where you start really gearing up. Every blitz that Wilson sees once the pads come on, it's incredibly valuable. Every rep that he sees is incredibly valuable. Every complete pass is as valuable as the incomplete pass. I mean, this is the time when you really start A, developing, but also preparing Wilson for when he's going up against the Panthers in week one, and then eventually sees the Falcons and sees the Bills and the Dolphins. This is where you're preparing him for that. You're throwing wild looks. You're seeing live bullets. Because remember, OTAs and minicamp are padless, so Zach Wilson's never seen an actual live pass rush. This is when you've really got Carl Lawson screaming off the edge and Jabari Zuniga and Bryce Huff and Quinnen Williams when he's back coming up the middle and getting those practices against. I mean, that's when you're really starting to prep. So Saturday when the pads come on is probably the latest where you can say, okay, it's fine. Now it's a concern is when the pads come on. But every day that Wilson's unsigned, he's not the only one that's impacted by his absence, because Joe Douglas made the decision to not add a veteran to this room. And no, we're not going to literally consider Josh Johnson a veteran, any of these guys. I'm talking like an actual guy that if your starting quarterback goes down, you are confident that that player can step in, fill in, and hold the fort down. I'm talking Andy Dalton. I'm talking Colt McCoy. I'm talking Nick Foles. I'm talking a guy that clearly is not your starting quarterback, but he's somebody that if he is forced to play, he is either A, played before, or in limited duty, has experience in the NFL where you know you're not going to have Luke Falk syndrome when, like, he steps on the field and it's just a colossal disaster. So because the Jets chose not to add that player and the Jets chose to go throughout OTAs with just Mike White and James Morgan behind Zach Wilson and minicamp with just Mike White and James Morgan behind Zach Wilson and now training camp with just Mike White and James Morgan as your only two other quarterbacks on this roster, when Zach Wilson's not on the field, you are basically playing without a quarterback. Because if Mike White has to play in the regular season, the Jets are beyond effed. If James Morgan has to play in the regular season, the Jets are beyond screwed. They are in such deep shit if either of those guys has to start an NFL game. It is bad news bears. The Jets can like those players. They can like the idea of developing those players. I like the idea of James Morgan as this team's number three quarterback getting another year to develop and Mike White continuing to develop on the practice squad. I like that idea. I don't like the idea of either of those guys being a backup quarterback. Like, that is bad. So with Zach Wilson not there and you not having competence behind him or a legitimate real backup quarterback behind him, no one else on the offense is getting any better with Mike White and James Morgan in there. No one else on that offense is able to be evaluated with James Morgan and Mike White in there. Like I said, the Jets threw the ball 22 times in practice on Wednesday, and twice the ball went beyond 10 yards. You're no longer getting anything out of Corey Davis when all he can run is slants. You're not getting anything out of Elijah Moore when all he can do is run curls. You're not evaluating Chris Herndon when you're trying to see if he's taking a next step and if he can be your starting tight end and real playmaker, George Kittle type player in this offense. You're not getting a chance to see that with Mike White and James Morgan in there. So for every practice that Zach Wilson misses, you're taking big chunks of development and evaluation away from all of those receivers, all of those running backs, and all of those offensive linemen. On the flip side of that coin, you're also hurting your defense. Because your defense isn't learning shit because they can stop Mike White. Your defense isn't getting any better if they can stop James Morgan. There's a little difference between facing Mike White in practice and Josh Allen when he comes to town. And Matt Ryan when he comes to town. And Deshaun Watson if he plays when he or the Jets go to his town. Like, there's a big difference there. So not only is your offense not getting any better, your defense really isn't gaining anything from practice either. So this is just, again, it goes back to this being so, so silly. Like, the fact that he's just not signed, and the fact that they haven't been able to work through this, and the fact that his agency's keeping him out, and the Jets are keeping him out, and they're at this butting of heads that is just beyond silly over something that both from Zach Wilson's perspective doesn't really matter, and the Jets' perspective doesn't really matter. Like, it's just, it's beyond me. But is it sound the alarms time yet? No. Is it panic time yet? No. Is the sky falling in Florham Park? No. But if we get to Saturday and the pads come on and the fans for the first time in over a year are able to see the Jets play in person, and the player that they get to see under center is Mike White, yeah, we got a problem. That's when you got a problem.
All right. So before we move on to other notes, I just kind of one more question about the Jets and the Zach Wilson situation. And that is, as you talk to other players, Connor, with, you know, throughout the days, have you gotten a vibe from other players that there's any frustration, or is it just kind of like, you know what, we're all here to get money and get the best contract and good for Zach?
That's what, no. And that's what made when Le'Veon Bell was with the Steelers, and he, I think this was when he held out the entire year, or maybe there was, did he miss a portion of the year and come back once? I can't, when he was dealing with all that contract stuff with the Jets or with the Steelers, I'm sorry. There was a huge storyline out of Pittsburgh because a number of the players on the Steelers roster spoke out on Bell and were basically like, where the hell are you? You got to get back. And the one golden rule in the NFL is you do not talk about another player's money. You do not put your hand in another man's wallet. This is a business. And when a player is trying to get his, and a player is trying to get his money, and a player is trying to take care of his family and a lot of his family's family for a very long time, potentially for the rest of their lives, you do not speak on that at all. That is the golden rule. And I think the only time that I can honestly remember that rule being broken is with the Steelers and Le'Veon Bell a couple of years ago. So no, I mean, you said, like Corey Davis spoke today and said, you know, like you can't, he was like, somebody asked about developing chemistry with Wilson. He goes, well, you know, you can't develop chemistry when you're not here. But then he immediately made reference to how they worked out on their own. And he immediately made reference to how, you know, he's still trying to take care of himself and will be good when he gets back there. So it's not a huge that, no, the players all know this. Obviously the players want him here. Players are going to want him here even more if they keep seeing Mike White and James Morgan throw passes in practice. But like they will know, like they know that he's taking care of his and he'll be here when he'll be here. And there's no, because eventually every single one of these players is either going to have to negotiate a new contract or a second contract, and they're going to get slapped in the face. But I mean, you just saw what the Instagram post that Xavier Howard put out there about, like, look, I've been doing everything the right way, and now I'm one of the best corners in the league, and I'm not even the highest paid corner on my team. Like, what the hell? And he said, it's a business. I realize it's a business. And no, so there will be no players speaking out. There will be no players texting like, dude, you need to get here. None of that stuff. This is business, and players respect that and understand that.
You know who's excited about Mike White? This inexperienced secondary that we're terrified to see play. They're excited. All right. So let's move on a little more other than Zach Wilson. Injuries, that's always a part of this, right? Marcus May passed his physical. That's great news. As far as the pup list goes now, Quinnen Williams, Kyle Phillips, Ashton Davis, Vinny Curry on the pup non-football injury list. Those guys are going to miss week one, I guess, Davis and Curry. But what about Quinnen Williams and where he's at? Because you look at those names and that's obviously the big one.
Yeah, so I think it was actually largely positive news for the Jets. Obviously, the two bad ones that they got were, as you mentioned, was Ashton Davis and Vinny Curry. And Ashton Davis is still dealing with the injury that he suffered last year. So it's just taking time to heal. It's taking time to rehab. And he sounds like Sala said, he's not going to be ready until the regular season. I think week two is the earliest they can activate him and things like that. So Ashton Davis is sidelined. Vinny Curry apparently had a procedure done during this break, which is also because he practiced all throughout OTAs and minicamp. So he had some procedure that is going to sideline him throughout training camp, obviously, and the preseason and the first game there of the regular season. So they'll eventually be back, but they're not. Quinnen Williams, Salas said, the Jets are just taking a slower approach with him. So he hurt his foot, if you guys remember that. I mean, it was actually shortly after his wedding because there were all these like, oh, did he hurt it dancing, blah, blah, blah. someone who just went through a wedding can tell you that would be very hard to do, to hurt your foot at the wedding, although I took my own bumps and bruises that night. But they, like, I think that with Quinnen, the Jets and Salah said, you're going to, they're taking a very slow and cautious approach with him. So I think the one little, like, I kind of went, huh, on it was when Salah said they don't want to have happen to the other foot what happened to this one. So they don't want to risk the injury, which I was like, that sounds weird. Like that you're,
well, maybe because he would favor it, right? If the one's okay, not 100%, yeah, so he maybe.
Yeah, so they said they basically don't want the same injury to happen to the other foot. And then suddenly he's out for half of the season and all that stuff. So they're taking a slower approach. However, he will be back before the regular season. Salah said he didn't want to jinx saying he'll definitely play week one. But the expectation is that he will be back for those joint practices against the Packers in a couple of weeks. And then he'll also play in that preseason game against the Packers. So Quinnen Williams is progressing. The Jets are liking what he's doing, his conditioning and all that stuff. They just don't want to rush him back right now. They rather make sure that he's 100% for the regular season, because that defensive line obviously is going to be pretty important for the success of this defense and a team as a whole.
And Mekhi Becton, who missed so much time during the summer, he's back out there too. That's a big plus for this team.
Yeah, pun intended.
And I mean big.
Oh, yeah. By the way, we saw – so the cool thing is, man, like the last 2 days, we've had in-person access. And I said this to Bree when I got home. I haven't talked to, on the record, a player or coach in person since the 2019 NFL Combine. Like, that, it's been that long because – you know, in February, a month later is when the world shut down because of COVID. So there was no OTAs, mini camp, training camp last year. There was no locker room or access to coaches. I mean, Gase would sometimes come over to the sideline and talk to us, but there was no recorders out, podium, player talking, none of that. So to be back in training camp, talking to players and talking to coaches and setting up one-on-ones and all this stuff, I mean, it's awesome, but it's also like so weird that like it's back and cool and all that stuff. So, we actually got the chance to talk to Mekhi Becton for the first time in person. And holy, the dude's huge. I mean, he made the podium that he was standing behind look like a toothpick. I mean, it basically was holding the podium like I would hold an iPad. Like it's ridiculous how big that guy is. But the big thing about him is that while the Jets say they didn't give him a number, Mekhi Becton said he showed up at the number the Jets wanted him to show up at. He said he's been doing additional conditioning. He's been eating right. He's been doing all these things. So he's in really good shape. I think with him, and the big thing to watch with him is just sustainability and durability. In that, yeah, he's healthy right now, but will he be healthy a week from now? Will he be healthy 2 weeks from now? Will he be healthy 3 weeks from now? Because that's a really big key in all this. Because with Becton, the wild and craziest stat I really know, aside from all of the crazy offensive stats you can dig up, he played less snaps last season than Sam Darnold. And Sam Darnold missed like a month and a game with the shoulder injuries. So while Becton started games, he would start a game, then he would leave. Then he'd be back, then he'd leave. Then he'd come out. I mean, he just wasn't reliable enough as a rookie. And he said this year, you know, last year he thought he was good. He wants to be great this year. Well, for him to be great, he has to be on the field for now a full 17 games. And for that, he needs to be healthy for a full 17 games. And so it's a very good sign that he is healthy now. But that foot injury that he had, it does tend to linger. So I like that he was on the field today. I like he's going to be on the field tomorrow. But it's going to be about consistently and continually seeing him on there with that offensive line. Because we got a glimpse today of how good that group can be when they're all firing all cylinders. When you have Mekhi Becton, the left tackle, Vera Tucker at left guard, Connor McGovern at center, Van Roten at right guard, and then Morgan Moses at right tackle. There was a play during the second set of team drills where Vera Tucker took Foley Fatukasi, he's a really good player, pushed him 5 yards right, and Becton sealed off Carl Lawson to the left, and Tevin Coleman ran through a massive gap, a hole that I have not seen in a good long time since covering the Jets, and got all the way to the second level before he was even touched. No, there's no contact. No, it's not full contact. No, the pads aren't on. But still, to see that blocking lane created in the first real practice Becton and Vera Tucker have had together was really cool to see. And to know that's the potential of that group, it's positive. And if Vera Tucker and Becton develop as the Jets hope, it has the chance to be an elite level offensive line. But it's only the potential to be an elite level offensive line if all of those guys are on the field together at the same time. And that's hard to happen when your big all pro potential left tackle is off the field with injury. So Becton's weight's good. Becton's in good shape. Becton's healthy, but he needs to stay that way. And the only way you're going to tell if he's going to stay that way is through time. You got to see him get through training camp, see him get through the preseason, and see him get through the regular season to know that, okay, some of those durability concerns that arose when he was a rookie are truly in the past and just a year of bad luck.
Yeah, when we had the bingo board going late last year when there was nothing else to do with this Jets team, two spots. One of the spots was Mekhi Becton leaves game with injury, and then there was another spot Mekhi Becton comes back into the game from injury, just because it seemed like it happened so often. Yeah. Off to the locker room, and then back in he would come.
The room. The locker room. That's the new bingo board. It's literally your only
room.
Action. Like, I wish you did room. Like the pack. Like, you had a I wish you had a
yeah.
So what? So you're from Boston, obviously, but like, where in Boston is that accent? Like, what? Where do you have to go?
Yeah, that's like, you know, in the city, and then, you know, you think like South Shore, or, you know, I'm just a little further out, but I will say that there's people in my family that definitely park the car and all that. I think part of it is that I went
to
So I went to, for those who don't know, I went to Syracuse, which is, you know, central New York. Well, I know people know that, but not everybody knows I went to Syracuse. But central New York has like, there's no real accent. If anything, it's kind of like a Midwestern accent when you get to the Syracuse area. So I think spending 4 years there and having, you know, professors say, well, if you want to work anywhere other than Boston, you should probably not talk like that. You know, I managed to break through. But as you said, it comes back. It also comes back when I drink. But that's another
story. It's another story. It's a story for Cat after hours.
All right. I think one more thing I'd like to touch on is you talk about first team and second teams, and obviously it's just the first day of camp and lots of things can change, but two guys that were with the second team unit today, Denzel Mims, who all summer long was with the second unit, and Chris Herndon, who is officially, I guess, second unit material right now. Are they sending a message to Chris Herndon that, hey man, we've given you plenty of rope and, you know, now's the time?
Yeah, it's so... Yeah, so I'll read them off because I know that's something that Jet fans are very, very interested in always. And again, like I talked to Jared with the Jets about this because I tweeted about the second team receivers and he was like, well, that's a violation of the policy. So you guys have to fill in the blanks.
See, this whole policy thing, yeah.
Yeah, go so ahead. I can say who's working with the first team. I can't say the positions that they're playing. So when the Jets went out there with their first team offense was Mekhi Becton, Elijah Vera Tucker, Connor McGovern, Greg Van Roten, Morgan Moses. Reminder that George Fant is currently on the COVID list. He has true COVID. Like, it's not like, you know, he has COVID. Keelan Cole, Jamison Crowder, Corey Davis, Tyler Croft, Mike White, and Michael Carter. On defense, and you can flip the one guy in and the one guy out when you're talking about nickel defense and base defense. They had Carl Lawson, Foley Fatukasi, Sheldon Rankins, John Franklin Myers, Lamar Jackson, who was in because Bryce Hall's wife is having a baby, Bless Austin, Jared Davis, CJ Mosley, Hamza Narzuldeen, which I'm actually to have a one-on-one with him soon, so I need to ask him, how do you pronounce your name? LaMarcus Joyner, Marcus May, and Javelin Guidry. So I tweeted that out, and the immediate thing that was sent to me by about 75 million Jet fans was, Denzel Mims, Where is Mims, Don't you mean Mims, What about Mims? Where is Mims? So Denzel has this hype behind him, and Denzel Mims has this attention behind him because he was the second round pick, right? Keelan Cole is kind of like that second tier free agent signing, got 4 or 5 million, whatever it was, but he's not like the big name. It's Denzel Mims. They remember the impressive catch that he had against the Chargers and the nice one that he made against the Chiefs and the big gains and his ability to stretch the field and that. Forget the game where he caught like the slant and had a nice little 20-yard gain, something like that. The fact is that Denzel Mims was a player that was perfectly suited for Adam Gase's offense because what Adam Gase wanted was guys that were linear players that could stretch the field deep and then were fast enough to take the top off the defense, which obviously begs the question of why the hell did you let Robbie Anderson go, but that's the type of receiver that he wanted. This offense that Mike LaFleur is going to run is different. He wants route runners. He wants guys that are going to make the catch in space and then create another 10 to 15 yards after the catch. Think about Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk. He wants players like that because he wants to run a carbon copy of Kyle Shanahan's offense that he runs in San Francisco. Denzel Mims, in my opinion, probably is not drafted by the Jets last year if Mike LaFleur is their offensive coordinator because he's just not a great fit for this scheme. So he needs to prove to this coaching staff that he deserves to be on the field. He needs to prove to this coaching staff that he deserves to be one of this team's starting receivers. He had that stomach bug throughout OTAs, which cost him time, but he has not shown in minicamp or OTAs that he should be on the field above Keelan Cole. The Jets genuinely really like Keelan Cole. They love his speed. They love his yards after catch ability. They love him as a player. Joe Douglas tried to trade for him the last 2 years unsuccessfully. So when he was a free agent, he was one of the guys that he prioritized going out there and signing. So he's very, very, very well liked both by the coaching staff and the front office. The Jets love Jamison Crowder in the slot. Corey Davis is obviously their starter. And then they have Keelan Cole. Denzel Mims right now is the team's second string receiver. He's the backup behind Keelan Cole. We saw series in OTAs and minicamp where even when the Jets brought in their second unit and Keelan Cole was out or Corey Davis was out, and Denzel Mims still didn't work in. And I can tell you, having watched throughout OTAs and minicamp and now this first practice of training camp, Mims hasn't done anything that makes me say he should be on the field. I mean, he dropped three passes today. He dropped one in individual drills and two in team drills. Like, he's not doing anything with his route running to create separation. His hands, which were supposed to be that, you know, he could high point the ball and go up there and get it, haven't exactly shined through. And the one thing that I would also say about Mims and to remember about Mims is that, yes, Joe Douglas drafted him, but Joe Douglas had a chance to draft him earlier than what he did. The Jets were sitting there in that round with Denzel Mims on the clock, and they chose to trade back. So instead of drafting Denzel Mims, they chose to trade back and risk not drafting Denzel Mims. And obviously he was still there when they picked again. So they claimed him and they picked him up. But that is something that I would keep in my mind as well. And the one thing that I will say, though, with all that is that I honestly believe that when all is said and done, the Jets starting three receivers are going to be Keelan Cole, Corey Davis, and Jamison Crowder, with Elijah Moore working in there just as much as Crowder, because he'll work outside, he'll work inside, they'll use him in the backfield, they'll use him everywhere. But you're going to see Mims used, because this, you Jets now have somebody running their offense that I would say the Jets are going to, they're going to have someone running their offense that will finally use everyone to their strengths. So they're going to use Denzel Mims with the things Mims does well, which is linear, contested catches, go deep.
Goal line, right? Wouldn't he be great on the goal line?
Yeah. We saw that in minicamp. He ran a goal line fade and caught a touchdown. But I don't think he's going to be this team's starter. And he's done nothing to show me that he's going to be this team's starter. He is with the second team offense. He's not with the second rotating with the first. He is the second team outside receiver. He's not pushing Keelan Cole for reps. He's certainly not pushing Corey Davis for reps. He doesn't play in the slot. And if anyone's going to get first team reps to spell Keelan Cole or Corey Davis, it's going to be the rookie Elijah Moore. So Denzel Mims is going to have a role with the Jets. They're going to use him for the things that he does well, with his strengths and weaknesses, but it's not, I don't think it's going to be as a starter. And the other one that obviously is, as you mentioned, is Chris Herndon. It's just the same thing as Mims. He hasn't done anything to separate himself, which is why the Jets are now using Ryan Griffin and Tyler Kroft ahead of Chris Herndon. Now, what I will say is that Herndon did flash today. He made a brilliant catch up the left sideline from Mike White, where he was twisting and kind of made the grab here and then fell to the ground, jumped up, and kept running down. So he has more physical talent than Kroft or Griffin. If he can get mentally checked in, he'll be a really good fit in an offense that wants a receiving do-it-all tight end. I think he has more potential to crack that starting lineup and make a difference if he can just get his head on straight. Mims is the other one that's like, My biggest issue with Mims right now, and this is from talking to people within the building and people who have watched him play that know a lot more football than I do, is he just doesn't create separation. 50-50 balls, he's going to go up there and out-muscle guys, but he does not create enough separation. And he doesn't create enough separation with his route running. And this is an offense that prioritizes route running, creating separation in yards after the catch. And it's just not what Mims does well.
All right, Marissa, we're going to wrap things up, but I think you got a question, right? In the chat.
Oh, are there a few? I did say that. I said I was going to answer questions. I've said that a few times. I don't know if there's any in the chat.
There's just a lot of comments in the chat today, a lot of aggressive comments. So we're just going to end this on a lighthearted note.
Are they mad at me?
No.
They were mad. They were still mad at the stream last time early on, but we've moved on beyond that. Yeah, now no, they're just mad at the Jets.
They were still mad about that? Situation.
Well, just yes. A few comments, but mostly mad at the Jets.
You've been using that mute button, Marissa?
No, I didn't have to kick anyone out. Everyone's been on their behavior, but just fired up about the start of the season and Zach Wilson not being there. So lots of different takes on that. But let's end on a food note, because that's your bread and butter, pun intended.
Yeah, and on a negative food note, because we still don't have spreads back. And I got to give Daryl Slater a big shout out here. He used to cover the Jets. Now he's kind of like he covers the NFL for the Star Ledger, but comes out to the Jets. And we had our pre-training camp meeting with the Jets media relations staff, just kind of, this is where you're going to park. This is how conferences are going to work. This is how player access is going to work. Like the whole like shebang. And then they were like, you guys have any questions? And Daryl came in, he goes, what's the food spread going to be like? So I got to get, he jumped the gun on me. I was like, I don't know if I should ask that or not. We are not.
If Zach wasn't going to be there, what's the food spread going to be like?
What's the food spread? That's reporters.
Yeah, reporters going to report.
Yeah. The Jets have not fed us yet. And the Jets will, because of COVID restrictions, there is no food spread. And it is very upsetting because the Jets kitchen staff and the way the Jets feed us in normal times is top tier, next level awesome, including some of the best soups I've ever had in my life. I mean, it is legitimate, really, 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 really good food. And it's upsetting to not have that there. So unfortunately, my lunch spread today is there's a Panera up the road from the Jets. Kind of hightailed it out of there pretty early. Got myself a green goddess salad or whatever they call it, dressing on the side and no bacon. And I got a nice little Diet Coke, and I had a veggie soup with it as well. So I kind of took my computer, wrote in Panera and stuff like that, because unfortunately, press conferences are back. In-person access is back. One-on-one interviews with players is back. Jets food spread, not back yet. But I heard it could be back for the regular season, which I'm hoping for.
They're saving some money to make up for the offset language in Zach Wilson's contract.
Bring back lunch. Real quick, two questions. Any interest in Blake Bortles?
Bortles! Yet,
there was some comments about that earlier.
Yeah, so I have not heard that yet just because he was so recently released. He's not exactly like a scheme fit for what this offense would be, but he does have experience, and I would just absolutely love to cover Blake Bortles, because if anyone has seen the interview that he gave with Barstool that they started releasing when the Jaguars went on that AFC championship run, where like I don't know the name of the woman who was interviewing him, but when I tell you this guy was the definition of a bro, like I would love to just sit him down and just talk just after watching that. I mean, that was one where Tim, I don't know if you've seen this, but it was, he's sitting there and he had a wine cellar in his house in Jacksonville Beach. And this girl goes like, oh my God, is that a wine cellar? And they walk in his door. He opens up like that. It's like one of the million one-liners that he has. Opens up this hole in his floor and he walks down to the wine cellar. And she goes like, wow, I didn't know you drank wine. What's your favorite wine? He goes, came with the house. So he's got like this, like,
I thought you were gonna say red. Like, what's your favorite wine? Red. But he went worse.
Came with the house. Oh, it's like that. I mean, there must have been thousands and thousands of dollars worth of wine, let alone how much it costs to have a wine cellar. Like, they goes, came with the house. And like, wow. She's talking to him by like he shows like the bedroom. It's like basically like an old MTV Cribs episode. And he goes, she's like, so what do you do like when you first wake up in the morning? He goes, I pee. It's the most amazing down-to-earth just bro interview in the entire world. So I don't know if I got to check in on that. I don't know if the Jets have made any calls to Blake Bortles, but I really hope they did, because I would love to talk to that guy. He really does seem like one of a kind.
Was there one other
not like exactly someone I would want to help rear Zach Wilson. I don't know if he's like the mentor type.
He's not that guy.
Yeah, I don't think he's the mentor type, but he'd be fun to cover. I'll give you that.
That's all in the comment section.
That's it. That's all we got
today.
Okay.
Yes, okay. But tweet Connor your questions for next episode. We didn't.
Yeah, we're gonna try to take a few. Yeah, we'll try to take a few questions every episode. And just so you know, now the training camp's back. We will be back every week, one episode a week throughout training camp. Once the season starts, we'll be back to our normal two a week cadence throughout the regular season and the playoffs. I don't know. Whenever this
I'm just trying to win a game.
Whenever it ends. But that's going to do it for us tonight. You can save 33% off a one-year subscription to The Athletic. Go to theathletic.com/can't wait. Have a great weekend, everybody. Hopefully next time we talk, Zach Wilson will be in a Jets uniform here in New York. Thanks for joining us.